preached this morning on Can God? We talked a lot about coming and making commitments to God and trusting God at His Word and choosing to follow after the Lord. I'm going to preach a message entitled tonight, What Follows the Choice to Serve God? What follows the choice? Many of us, we make choices in life, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Joshua 24, when you get there, stand with me. Joshua chapter 24. We're going to read a few verses, and then we'll pray, and then you can sit down. Joshua 24, look at verse number 14. Here Joshua is coming to the end of his life. He's about 120 years old, or 110 years old. And he had coming to the end of his life, and he's beginning to remind the children of Israel what all God has done. And then here on his deathbed, he is reminding them that regardless of what they choose to do, he's still going to serve God. So their choice to serve God and whether or not they were going to be faithful to God was not going to have an impact on his personal convictions of serving God. And we ought to be so steadfast in our lives that regardless of what other people around us may choose, we need to choose to serve God because we know that's the right thing we ought to be doing, regardless of the outside influence. But we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Verse 14, Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That's the response most of us would give. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, notice the encouragement they got from their preacher, ye cannot serve the Lord. That's encouraging. But here, Joshua was reminding them of the importance of the decision they were about to make. That they don't need to be flippant about this decision. This is a decision that needs to be made with a lot of forethought and with a lot of caution in your life. He said, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. So here's a reminder. This is what's going to happen if you choose to serve God. Then you turn your back on Him, like we talked about this morning. Verse 21, And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And then Joshua here tells them some requirements if they're going to serve God. Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for the truths of the Word of God. Help us as we look at some choices in life and some side effects of choices that we make. Help us. Every day we are faced with choices. Every opportunity we have in this life, we have choices. We get up out of bed, we choose whether or not we're going to read Your Bible. We choose whether or not we're going to pray. We choose whether or not we're going to curse Your name or say Your name in vain. We choose what we're going to do. We choose how we're going to live that day, whether for You or for self. And I pray that You'd help us as we make these choices to understand the repercussions. Use us, guide us, we ask You, saying, in Your name we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Notice here, Joshua chapter 24, verse number 14, he says, Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And he tells them what they need to do. They need to put away the false gods and they need to serve the Lord. And then he tells them in verse 15 that they are to make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Now that tells me right there that it is an urgent choice that must be made. It tells me right there that it is a logical choice that must be made. It's not a choice that you're making under duress. It's not a choice that you're making under stress. You are making a logical choice. Am I going to choose to serve God or am I going to choose to serve self? Which one am I going to serve? And it's an urgent choice. It needs to be made this day before you go any further in your life. You need to make the choice. How am I going to live? Am I going to live for God? Am I going to live for self? Let me go ahead and make this statement here. If you choose to do right today, then tomorrow you will not regret your yesterday. Let me say it again for those of you that aren't listening. If you choose to do right today, then tomorrow you will not regret your yesterday. Okay? Every day we have choices to make. And every day, those choices will have repercussions. Understand tonight, everyone that's in this room, children, let's find a seat and let's stay sitting down, okay? Everyone that's in this room has got a power of choice. The single greatest power that any of us have is the power to choose. This morning, you woke up, you chose whether or not you came to church this morning. Tonight, you went home. After church this morning, many of you took a nap. Amen. Some of you Sunday afternoon nappers got together and you came to church tonight. You made a choice to be here. And we understand that. I understand the importance of the choice that you made. Tonight, you'll go to bed at a certain time. Some of you are going to stay up late, unfortunately. Some of you are going to go to bed early because you got to work tomorrow. Some of you are going to stay up late even though you have to work tomorrow. And you're going to deal with the drowsiness and the crankiness tomorrow. That's a choice that you're going to make. All right. But we all have choices. Now, God has given us a free will to choose what we will do in this life and how we will live this life. But understand, if you did not have a choice today, if you could not choose right or wrong, you would simply be a robot. All right? We don't run a Tesla company around here. There's no robots, no AI around here, okay? We're not generating all these different patterns. No. God wants us to have a choice. But understand this as well. The power of choice is the single greatest power today that is the most abused. It's the most abused power that we have, the power of choice. And people want to use the excuse, well, it's my life, it's my choice. Or today, the phrasing is, it's my body, it's my choice. Right? We hear that all the time. It's my choice on what I want to do. Really? I understand. Yes, it is your choice, but understand God's the one that gave you life. God's the one that gave you breath. And every time you make a choice, you need to make the choice with that in mind. Now understand that although you have the power of choice, just like Joshua is telling the children of Israel, you cannot have your choice of the consequences. Although you have the power of the choice, you cannot choose which consequences you're going to have. Either you will choose to do right and then you'll receive the blessings of obedience, or you'll choose to do wrong and you will suffer the consequences of sin. One or the other. Although we have the power of choice, we do not have the power to choose the consequence. Now, there are some times in the Bible where God did allow man to choose his consequence. I think of David. David had sinned with numbering the people of Israel. And God had come to him and said, there are a couple of different options that I will give you. Either we'll just kill everybody for 30 days, or there'll be a great pestilence in the land. And David was able to choose the consequence of his disobedience. Let me tell you this. It is few and far between when that happens in your life. I know there have been times where I have disobeyed and my parents didn't let me choose a consequence at all. I had to suffer the consequence of disobedience and I felt the wrath of a leather belt. Amen. Now, understand, in the Bible, there are different folks that made different choices. Eve made a choice and she sowed disobedience. And then later on, she reaped one son killing another son. Did not Cain kill Abel? all because a mama chose to disobey, all because a daddy chose to disobey God. Now, although they had the power of choice and they could choose whatever they wanted to do, they could not choose the consequences that followed that choice. And those consequences affected them very dearly. See, you either serve God by choice or you're going to begin to serve Satan in this life by default. You say, well, I never chose to serve the devil. No, you'll serve the devil by default, because when you choose to serve self, you're putting yourself on the throne, and in essence, you're doing what the devil wants you to do. Because the devil, listen, the devil wants you to do anything other than what God wants you to do. And if you're not doing what God wants you to do by choice, then you're doing what the devil wants you to do by default. Good choices in life, understand this, young people, good choices will always cost you something in advance. When you take a stand for truth and when you take a stand for right, good choices will always cost you up front. See, when you take a stand for the right kind of friendship and you begin to talk to your friends and say, hey, look, I'm not going to talk like that anymore. Hey, we're not going to say those things anymore around me. I'm not going to act that way. I'm not going to go to those places. I'm not going to dress that way. I'm not going to do that anymore. It's going to cost you something up front. You'll find out who your real friends are. You'll weed some bad apples out. So good choices cost you something in advance, but bad choices cost you everything in the end. You say, well, I made this choice and I haven't suffered from it yet. No, no, just give it time. Give it time. You've sowed your wild oats. You'll reap the harvest. It'll come. The reaping day will be soon. See, what happens is too often we live in the moment and we forget that we have a future ahead of us. We live in a society today where everything is instant gratification and you buy things on the moment because it's there, because it's available, because it's ready. And then we reap the consequences of that. Amen. Now, whether you make tonight the right decision or the wrong decision, understand that it's still your decision. It's still your decision. Meaning that you're going to stand before God for it, not your spouse. Children, not your parents, but you. You're going to give an account for it. Just as Israel here in this passage was faced with a decision, we too are faced with the very same decision. And that is, am I going to serve God or am I going to serve the world? Which one? Here, Joshua had laid the decision before the children of Israel. He had said, choose you this day whom you will serve. At the end of verse 15, many of you have this verse placarded throughout your house. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, you choose whatever you want to do. You choose this day who you're going to serve. But I've already made my decision, and my decision is that me and my family, we're going to serve God come hell or high water. It doesn't matter what happens. We're going to stay faithful to God. Now understand, in choosing to serve God, it is an immediate choice that must be made. Meaning the sooner you make this choice, the better off your life is going to be. Okay? It needs to be made immediately, because the longer you drag on the choice of serving God or serving the flesh, then the longer you have opportunities to make more mistakes in the flesh. It's an immediate choice. But it's also an individual choice. Meaning you have to make it. Because so then every one of us, the Bible says in Romans 14:12, shall give account of himself to God. We each individually are going to stand before God. So this is an individual choice that must be made. But also, it is an influential choice. It's an influential choice. Meaning that the choice you make will have an impact on those that are around you. Teenagers, you make a choice on whether or not you're going to serve God. It's going to affect the friends that you have. Husbands, you make a choice that you're going to serve God. It's going to affect your spouse. It's an influential choice. And by the way, a wife is more apt to follow her husband as he follows Christ, because she's waiting for him to make that spiritual decision. And she's ready and willing many a times. But sometimes when you choose spouse not to serve God, that also has an influential choice on your spouse. You wonder why there's often fighting in marriages, and there's often bickering, and there's often arguments that happen. My wife and I had a discussion back before we even got married. And I've shared this before. And part of that discussion We came to an understanding that if one of us was bickering and fighting with the other one, then one of us had to not be right with God. Because if we're both right with God, then we would be in unity on a matter. But if somebody's not right with God, then it's going to cause fighting and arguing and bickering. Because can two walk together except they be agreed? It's Bible. Now, others have gone throughout history and they've made different choices. We know early Christian martyrs died because they would not deny the Lord. We know that here in America, our founding fathers died so that we can live in a free country. All they wanted was the freedom to serve God. All they wanted was the freedom to choose the God that they were going to serve. But today we have more people fighting for free handouts. And we have more people fighting for the government to give this and to give that to them. We denounce the things that have been paid for. Understand, Jesus Christ, He made a choice to give His life so that we could be able to trust Him for salvation. We're going to talk about that as we get a little closer to the Lord's Supper. Notice here in verse number 16, the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord. Now here, this is where most of us are at. Most of us, we get to a point in our life where somebody comes up and says, we've got to make a choice on what we're going to do. Are we going to serve the Lord? Are we going to serve self? We get a preacher that comes in and we have a revival. We have a missions conference. We have meetings. We have whatever the case is. Go to church camp. We go to youth conference. And a decision is set before us. We usually fall into the category of verses 16 through 18. Well, we begin to make the statements of, well, God forbid that we should go anywhere else. Of course we're going to serve God. That's why we're here, right? And that's usually the mentality that we have. And we say, well, I'm going to serve God. Of course I am. That's why I come to church. I'm here, aren't I? I'm faithful, aren't I? I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I've got my kids in the Christian school. What do you think we're trying to do? Of course we're trying to serve God. And we get a defensive mentality about it. When in all reality, we just want you to understand the reality and the severity of what you're choosing to do. Because your choices have consequences. We can't say that I'm going to serve God and then walk out of these doors and live like the world. It doesn't operate that way. God doesn't operate that way. You say, where do you see that in the Bible? Look, I'm glad you asked. Verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. You see, you come to church and you learn what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to live for God. You make a decision that I'm gonna serve God and I'm gonna do what I'm supposed to do. I'm gonna dress right. I'm gonna talk right. I'm gonna listen to the right kind of music. I'm not gonna watch certain things on television. I'm gonna make these decisions for my family and for my personal life. I'm going to make these decisions. And we walk outside of those doors and then we forget about the decisions that we've made. Just like we talked about this morning, the flattery of the lips, the lying tongue. We begin to come down and make these commitments all in vain because we did not intend to keep the promise. We came forward during an invitation because we wanted to ease the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Are we listening? We came forward, we made a commitment because we wanted to release ourselves from any wrongdoing. Well, everybody else is going forward, I guess I should go forward as well. Here, Joshua says, God's a holy God. God's a jealous God. God will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if ye forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Now listen, God is a God who is ready to forgive. All right, understand that. God is a God who is ready to forgive. God is looking for opportunities to be able to forgive people. God is looking for opportunities for those to come to Him and to have a repentant heart and to have a repentant attitude and to be able to plead and beg for forgiveness. And God is ready to give mercy and God is ready to show grace. God's ready to do that. The Bible tells us that. But here, if we forsake the Lord, and we break the commitment of serving God when we've made the choice to serve God. And we go back, notice verse 20, and serve strange gods. Then notice what God will do. Then He will turn and do you hurt. You say, but God loves me. God would never hurt me. You're right. God loves you. And God never would intentionally try to hurt you. But just like as a child, when I would willingly disobey my parents, I would rebel against the authority. And whenever I had to come and meet the authority, and they had to deal with the disobedience, and they had to apply the board of discipline, amen, the board of correction, to the seat of learning, amen. We all know about that. They had to discipline. They had to spank. They had to whoop, good old-fashioned whooping, W-H-U-P-P-N, a whooping, amen. Ah, he's beating me, I'm dying. No, you're not dying. Spare not for his crying, he shall not surely die, the Bible says in Proverbs. It's there, it's in the book. It says, and then he will turn and do you hurt. Did my parents seek out to hurt me during that time? No, but they knew discipline was necessary because of the disobedience. Did it hurt? Absolutely it hurt. And most of the time parents make the statement, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. Really? Are you on the receiving end of this? That hurts. Right? Maybe you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. All right. Okay. Then he will turn and do you hurt. There is correction that must be. You see, when you choose to serve God and then you turn your back on your decision and you go back out into this world and you serve the false gods of this world, then God will have to turn and he'll have to do hurt in your life. He'll have to discipline you. He'll have to chastise you. He'll have to correct you. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us this. Okay? This is nothing new. This is all things that we know. But notice, he says, and consume you. Not only will God do us hurt, he will consume us. After that, he has done you good. That means God recognizes all the blessings that he's done in your life, but because of our disobedience, he has to judge us for the wrongdoing. That does not negate the blessings that he gave us, but rather, that causes us to appreciate the boundaries he has laid. You see, as a child, when I began to do wrong and my parents would discipline me, although I did not like the discipline, and I don't know anybody in here that does enjoy being disciplined, unless you're just psychotic, put your hand down, you don't like being disciplined. Nobody enjoys the spankings, but they're necessary because it shows you, as the disobedient one, the consistency of a loving parent, and it shows you the boundaries of what you're allowed to do and not allowed to do in this life. Amen. God's the same way. God is going to discipline us as a loving heavenly Father, but he's going to show us the consistency of what the boundaries are in this life. Here he says he's a jealous God. Here he says he's a holy God. Here he says he's a God that he does not want us to forsake him and to go out and to serve other gods. You say, what other gods are there in this world? There's all kinds of other gods. Listen, you don't have to serve a golden statue or a golden idol to be able to serve another god. You can just do what you want to do rather than what God wants you to do. That's serving the false god of self. You can just serve what your boss wants rather than what your convictions based on the Word of God say. That's serving the God of money. And we all know people who are doing that. There's different gods that we serve. Here, the Bible says, in verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Okay, now that you're serious about the commitment to want to serve God, if you've gone through the process here, Joshua had laid it out to the people, here, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And they say, okay, we're going to serve God. Joshua says, no, you don't understand what I'm asking. Choose you today who you're going to serve. God's a jealous God. God's a holy God. God's not going to put up with your inconsistency. God's not going to put up with you living life the way that you want to live life. God's got some standards. God's got some requirements if you're going to serve him. If you're going to live for him, God's got some things he wants you to do. This is what Joshua says. I said, okay. We're still choosing to serve God. Joshua, as any other preacher, I'd imagine, he said, okay, all right. Look at verse 22. Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves. is okay. Let me give you a couple things now. If you're going to choose to serve God, understand, based on this passage here, there's three things that's going to follow the choice to serve God every time. Okay? All right? I'm going to need everybody pay attention. Three things will follow the choice to obey God every single time. Look at verse number 22. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Here, if you're going to choose to serve God, if you're going to choose to live your life for the Lord, if you're going to choose to do whatever God commands you to do, if you're going to choose to read your Bible and to spend time in prayer and to come faithfully to church and to set yourself apart to serve God, here, this is the first thing that's going to follow it. There's got to be accountability in your life. There's got to be accountability. When you make a choice to serve God and you make a choice to do something for God, there ought to always be accountability. Joshua says here, ye are witnesses against yourselves. Why do you think every time we come back from church camp or youth conference, we have our young people stand up and tell you what God did in their hearts and what God did in their lives? For accountability. Because they made a decision, and now they're telling the church, this is the decision I made. I decided to give my life to God. I decided at church camp I got saved. I decided to surrender my life to the mission field. I decided to do this. I decided to read my Bible more. I decided to pray more. I decided I was going to be a better witness and be a better soul winner. Guess what? What that does for us as a church, that charges us up, but it also helps us to hold people accountable to decisions that they've made. You say, well, we shouldn't just lord those things over their head. No, I understand what you're saying, but listen with me. Somebody comes back from church camp and they say they want to read their Bible more. Then what's wrong with trying to encourage them and coming up to them and say, hey, how you doing in your Bible reading? You know what that's called? That's called accountability. Somebody goes to church camp, somebody goes to youth conference, and somebody has a revival here in the church, and we have a missions conference, and somebody comes forward and they say, man, I'm not being the soul winner that I need to be. I've been skipping out on visitation. I need to come door knocking more. Well, when you start missing more and more door knocking after that revival or after that missions conference, what's wrong with a church member coming up to you and saying, after you've already made the statement, this is what I'm going to do, what's wrong with a church member coming to you and saying, hey, I thought you said you were coming out door knocking. You going to go visiting with me on Saturday? You going to go door knocking with me on Thursday night? You know what that is? That's called accountability. You are witnesses against yourselves. Something I was taught years ago as a teenager, was any time you make a decision for God, you need to develop what we call accountability partners. You need to have somebody in your life that will hold you accountable to decisions that you made for the cause of Christ and for the glory of God. My wife and I, we go through revivals and we go through missions conference. We've done this for years since we've been married. We always talk about the messages and what God did in our hearts. You know what we're doing as a husband and a wife? We're holding each other accountable. We're making decisions for the glory of God. We talk to our children and ask them what God did in their hearts. And we ask them what they learned from the message, from the Word of God. We ask them if they made any decisions. What are we doing? We're beginning to hold them accountable to the things that God's doing in their lives. You see, we ought to hold one another accountable because we are witnesses against ourselves that we've chosen to serve the Lord. And what did they say? They said, they replied back, we are witnesses. Yes, Joshua, I agree with you 100%. Yes, we're going to be a witness one to another. We're going to hold each other accountable. We're going to do what we're supposed to do. We're going to keep each other accountable to the decisions that have been made for the glory of God. Let me ask you a question. Who are you holding accountable and who is holding you accountable to the decisions you've made for God? You say, well, I'm a little too spiritual for that, and I don't think anybody needs to know the decisions that I've made for God. Really? That's not what Joshua said. By the way, he was dealing with this in front of all the children of Israel. It was in an open forum. He was calling out families. As a matter of fact, when Ezra preaches, back in Ezra chapter 6, 7, and 8, he calls out families by name. And says, this is what you're doing, and this is what you're doing, and this is what you're doing. Now, how'd you like to be in a church service like that? Yeah. You thought we preach hard around here. Man, Ezra called him out by name, bless God. Yeah. Decisions that are made for the glory of God. Don't think that you're above the spiritual plateau, that others can't hold you accountable. By the way, don't get offended when somebody calls you and says, hey, why don't you go out door knocking with us on Saturday? Or, hey, what are you doing on Thursday? Would you like to go out door knocking with me? Or, hey, I want to go to Sunday school. Will you come and sit with me and be my guest? Or we have a fellow church member that's starting to skip church on certain nights. We call somebody and say, hey, I've been noticing you've been missing. I just want to call and let you know I love you, I care for you, I'm praying for you and your family. I hope everything's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's being a church that loves people. But also, it's helping each of us hold one another accountable to decisions that we've made for the glory of God. Because we are members one of another. Is that not what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? We are members that have been fitly framed together, the Bible says. We are members that are set in order, the place where God wants us to be, as it hath pleased Him, 1 Corinthians 12:18. So here in verse number 22, when we make decisions of whether or not we're going to serve God or serve self, there ought to be, number one, accountability in your life. Look at verse number 23, the next thing that there ought to be. He says in the verse number 23, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. Not only should there be accountability in your life, but secondly, there ought to be abstinence in your life. There ought to be abstinence. That means you ought to abstain from some things. You ought to get away from some things. Notice what he says. Put away the strange gods which are among you. What does the Bible says? Oh, what does the Bible say over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 22? It says, abstain from all appearance of evil. You see, when you choose to serve God and you choose to live your life for God and you say, hey, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. I'm going to live my life as a Christian. There's some things in this world that I'm not going to do. Well, guess what? That means there's some things that you ought to stop doing. That's what abstinence means. It means to stop performing something. We ought to abstain. Here, he directly relates to what they were putting before God. He said, remember back in verse 19, he says, you cannot serve the Lord, for He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He'll not forgive your transgressions. And then he says in verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He'll turn and do you hurt. So here he tells them, when you're choosing to serve God, in verse 22, there ought to be accountability. Meaning we ought to hold one another accountable. We're witnesses against ourselves. But secondly, then we've got to put away the strange gods that we were serving. We've got to abstain from that which is wrong. Meaning that we've got to separate ourselves from what we used to be so that we can become what God wants us to be. There's an old song that we used to sing. The kids sing it at church camp. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Y'all know it. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. In our lives, there ought to be a change. When we get saved, there ought to be a change. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. They're passed away. The drugs I used to shoot, the people I used to hang out with, the words that I used to say, the movies that I used to watch, the parties I used to go to, the friends I used to have, I don't do those things anymore. There's been a change that God's made in my life. There's been a great change, by the way. Because any man being Christ, he's a new creature. There's a song, and I don't know how many people around here may actually know it, but I got some of the words written down here. And the chorus goes like this. Everything is different now. I'm not the same anymore. The wrong places I used to go are now the places that I avoid. The old crowd I used to hang around, they always tried to pull me down. I'm not the same anymore. My life has been changed. When God comes in your life and you make a decision to serve God, at that point, There ought to be accountability with others, but there ought to begin abstinence in your life. That if I'm going to serve God, if I'm going to read my Bible, that means that I can't spend all my time playing video games. If I'm going to read my Bible, then I can't spend all my time watching television. Okay? If I'm going to read my Bible, then I can't spend all my time consumed with everyone else in their lives. I've got to spend time with God. If I'm going to spend time in prayer and talking to my God, then I can't spend all my time with everybody else. I've got to separate myself. Does that make sense? There's got to be a change in my life. If I'm going to listen to the right kind of things, the right kind of music, then I can't fill my mind with the filth of this world and the wrong kind of music. There ought to be a change that takes place. You see, what we want, this is what we want. We want to choose to serve God, and then we want an easy road to follow. We want to say, well, I'm choosing to serve God. Now, everything's just going to fall in place. It doesn't work that way. You choose to serve God, yes. And by the way, that's not a one-time decision. That's an everyday decision. That's an every moment of everyday decision. You just go to Walmart, and you... You got to choose to serve God a lot. Amen. We went to the mall. You got to choose to serve God. There's a lot of worldly people out there. A lot of wickedness is out there. It's a daily decision, but it's an every moment of everyday decision. Of, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this. Or wait, does Jesus want me to go and do that? Would God be pleased if I went to that location? Well, I'm gonna go over here and get a drink over at the bar. Would God be pleased you walking into there? Well, I'm gonna go and eat lunch down at the casino. I heard they have a good buffet. Would God be pleased with you going into a casino? You say, well, I'm not gambling or anything. Really? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. Well, other people shouldn't be judgment. Well, guess what? They do. So get over it. It's the reality of it. People are going to judge you. People are going to make decisions on you. People are going to see you pull into an area and a location. Got the church van on the side, and you're going to pull into a rated X store. I thought it was a gas station. Don't get out of the car. Let's go, go, go. Amen. It's another story for another time. It's the appearance. Well, how dare they say that they're a Christian and go over there? I thought they loved Jesus. Okay, let's not talk about what you love. You're going to talk about what everybody else loves. All right, okay. Here, we're witnesses. We got to hold one another accountable. But secondly, there ought to be some abstinence that happens in your life. Put away the strange gods. Then notice, at the end of verse 23, there's a third thing that follows. He says, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Not only, if you're going to choose to serve God, listen, not only should there be accountability in your life, not only is there going to be abstinence in your life, but thirdly, there ought to be some adoration. Amen. There ought to be some adoration. You ought to adore God. What does the Bible say? And incline your heart. We all know what a recliner is. Everybody got a recliner? Okay? A recliner kicks you back, right? Oh, I love my recliner. Okay? But we also know what an incline is. It's a climb. Correct? Here we're to incline our heart to the Lord. You know what that means? That means we are to point upward toward God. We are to adore God. We are to revere God. We are to give Him adoration. We are to give Him praise for who He is. But also, that means we ought to go up to the next level. Because when you follow an incline, you're climbing. Sometimes along the climb, Brother Thoreau and I, we hunt out on some mountains out in Wilburton. Sometimes we'll park the four-wheelers down at the base of the mountain and we'll climb. It's a long truck, all right? It could be a long climb. Sometimes when you're going up the climb, sometimes it gets difficult. Sometimes when you're going up the incline, it gets a little wearisome. Sometimes when you're going up the incline, you might slip and fall a little bit. But guess what? all along the way, you're a little bit higher than you were before. Okay? All along the way, you say, well, but I keep struggling, but I keep falling, but I keep messing up. Yes, but you're better today than what you were last week. But you're closer to God now than what you were a year ago. Don't we understand what I'm talking about? The incline. The upward trajectory that we follow in our lives. If you're going to choose to serve God, there's going to be some accountability. Other people ought to hold you accountable. By the way, husbands, wives, you ought to share with each other decisions that you make for the glory of God. Young people, you ought to share with your parents decisions that you make for the glory of God. We want to hold you accountable. That's all it is. Husbands and wives, you shouldn't have a problem holding each other accountable. Not that you're lording over one another. Well, there you go again. See, you messed up. I thought you said you were going to serve God this time. Yeah, really, that's encouraging. That helps somebody at all times, doesn't it? It's no wonder they keep falling with encouragement like that. What's that, Brother Anthony? You always say, with friends like this, who needs enemies, right? There ought to be some accountability, though. Some encouragement along the way. But then he says to put away the false gods that are among you. Meaning there ought to be some abstinence in your life. That, hey, we're going to choose to serve God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to choose to serve God. I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to do that anymore. And in order for me not to do that, I've got to replace it with this over here. In order for me not to go back to that kind of music, I've got to put this kind of music in its place. In order not to go back to that drinking, I've got to replace my time and my presence in those locations with this. Are we listening? Not to go back to the friends that are doing the drugs. I've got to replace those friends with these godly friends here at church that are going to keep me accountable. They're going to help me abstain from those things. And then thirdly, there ought to be some adoration. There ought to be times in your life where you're continuing to give God the honor and the glory and the praise for what He's doing in your life. And as you're choosing to serve God, you just continue to choose to serve God. And today, it's a little bit easier to serve God than it was yesterday. And as you get consistent in your walk with God, reading your Bible, and spending time in prayer, each and every day it gets a little bit easier than it was the day before. And as it gets a little bit easier, you just give God the praise. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength that I need. Thank you, Lord, for growing me from strength that I had in the physical to strength today that I have in the spiritual. Thank you, God, for where you brought me from, and thank you that you love me too much to leave me in the place where you found me. Amen. Thank you for what you've done. Give God some adoration. Incline your heart to the Lord. By the way, He didn't say incline your mind or incline your mouth. Because we think that we're spiritual. And we tell everybody else that we're spiritual. Don't we? That's how we are. He says, incline your heart. The thing that only I can see. That's what He says. Amen. Incline your heart unto the Lord. And when you incline your heart to God and you begin to look up towards your God and you begin to look up to your Heavenly Father and you begin to give Him praise, you begin to adore Him for who He is, you begin to revere Him for who He is, it causes you to incline. It causes you to climb. It causes you to get a little bit closer to the Lord each and every time. What does the Bible say in James? Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Right? Just like a baby. Once mom and dad grab him, what does it do? Raises the arms. And what does your heart do? It melts every time. Oh, we got to pick him up. He's crying. Let him cry. Be all right. But he's reaching for me. He's reaching. Okay. It's the heart. It's what you want to do. It's the same thing God wants to do. You begin to reach out towards God. God naturally wants to draw you closer to Him. It's not that God has favorites. It's that we've now inclined ourselves. There's some adoration on our part. And then what does He say in verse 34? And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. Back in verse number 18, they had told Joshua that he was their God. And here they say it again, the Lord our God. They don't say the Lord your God. Say, Joshua, we're going to serve your God. They said, no, Joshua, He's our God. And I'm going to serve Him. You see, it means something differently when you take ownership of who God is in your life. Are we listening? It means something differently. Teenagers, young people, if all you do is say, well, my parents believe this, you never make those beliefs yours. then you're never going to serve God. But it becomes personal when you begin to claim Scripture yourself. I believe this based on this verse. I believe what God says right here. God is my God. I prayed to my God this morning, and this is what my God did. That settles a little differently than, yeah, we pray every night, and you know, my parents, they believe in God. Yeah, that settles differently. Here the people said, He is our God, and we're going to serve Him. And His voice will we obey. You see, drawing close to God is the only way for us to stay right with God and to keep the decisions that we've made. You cannot live this Christian life on your own. You've got to follow what God has given us. Understand, we have choices to make. But no matter what you choose tonight, whether or not you're going to choose to serve God, whether or not you're going to choose to serve self, whether or not you're just going to continue to live your quote-unquote Christian life in your way rather than in God's way based on Joshua 24. The choice that you make, it's your choice. And you're going to have to suffer the consequences of the choice of disobedience or the blessings of the choice of obedience. We've got to make those choices. What are we going to do? Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. We all have choices that are made. Maybe you've never chosen to serve God because you've never chosen to make God your God. Here the children of Israel said, "The Lord is our God." Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Well, you can get that settled tonight. Brother Nick will be up here in the front. We've got ladies if you're a lady and you want to talk to a lady. We've got plenty of folks that can show you how you can trust Christ as your personal Savior. We had two young ones that got saved a few weeks ago. Trusted Christ. They made God their God. It wasn't enough for God to be their parents' God. They made God their God. There was a choice they came to. Maybe God's working in your heart and you've never chosen to live for God because you've never chosen to trust Him for salvation. Maybe you're struggling with choice because you think that you've got it all figured out and you know how it all works. Let me go ahead and tell you that your way's not going to work. Man thinks his way is right. The way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the end thereof are the ways of death, the Bible says in Proverbs. Quit trying to follow your path and choose God. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You.